Sadly, you could probably sum up much of my college career educationally by a poster that hung above my desk. It was a poster of that was had a picture on it. It was a picture of a young man standing up on a plateau and looking down off some clouds off into the distance, and it just looked like this very peaceful, pastoral kind of beautiful scene of nature. And it had below it a caption. It said, "Procrastination." And underneath that, it had an explanation. It said, "Hard work often pays off over time, but laziness always pays off now." Well, it was one of those demotivational posters that are usually quite funny, quite humorous. Unfortunately, too often in college, I took that adage and made it my own. I might have been called the king of procrastination. If there was a paper that was due on Thursday morning, you had better believe that Wednesday night at about 10 o'clock, I'd be saying, I probably should start thinking about that paper a little bit. I should probably get going on that paper once in a while. You know, I see some parents in here looking off to college-age children and maybe seeing some of the similar advice being given at some earlier stage. But that was the king of procrastination. Simply saying, you know what? I'm going to get this paper done at some point. I'm going to get this assignment done eventually. It's going to get done. It's going to be completed. Well, it was also unfortunate that sometimes I would just stay up all night, and then I would get up, you know, or maybe sleep for a couple hours, get up again, hand it in. And, you know, I would do well enough on the project to say it never really came back to bite me. It never came back to, oh, man, you failed that project. You probably shouldn't do it anymore. And this was a great blot, unfortunately, on my college career. And I will say, honestly, actually now, it's a very difficult habit to get out of. It's a very difficult habit to break. And so if you're a high school age student or you are a college age student, I just give you a bit of practical advice. Stop procrastinating right now. It's going to become a hard habit to break later in life. One of my college professors gave me this really great analogy about writing. He said, you know what writing is? He said, it's like sculpting. He said, you start with this just unfinished block of granite. What is that? That's your first draft of something written. And then he said, the rest of it is like sculpting off here and there. You come back to it the next morning and you chisel off a little bit more and make it a little more neat. Well, unfortunately, my first draft was pretty close to my final draft. And so most of my papers just ended up being that kind of unfinished block of granite. But I'm not here to talk to you about procrastination this morning, about delay, about a specific kind of holding back and putting it off to the last minute of school papers, of assignments in college. That's not what I'm here to talk to you about today. I'm here to talk to you about another kind of procrastination, another kind of delay that is far worse, and it's far more damaging, and there are far greater stakes than simply getting a D- on a big school paper. This is the kind of delay that has eternal stakes. This is the kind of delay that affects your eternal destiny. And it's one that's not to be taken lightly. We come here in this passage that Brother James read for us this morning in Acts chapter 22. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. This is one of the great apostles, maybe the central figure outside of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, who is going across and giving the gospel to thousands upon thousands of people and doing so much for the cause of Christ. This today was his testimony. This today was him standing up, before a bunch of Jews that wanted to kill him and saying, "This is who I am, and this is what happened to me." And I want to take out a particular point of this testimony today, and it was the command, it was the question of a man named Ananias to Paul. You see, Paul had gone through an incredible miracle. He was on the road to Damascus, as we read, and suddenly there was a light from heaven going down on him, and there was the voice of Jesus Christ himself speaking to him. And Paul was knocked down onto his face. And light had shone round about him and had blinded him. And he had said, "Lord, what am I to do? What do you want me to do, Lord?" And the Lord said, "Go into the city. It'll be told you." And he had seen this marvelous light. And then he was there for 3 days. Scripture says he wasn't eating. He was fasting. He was blind. He couldn't see. The miraculous glory of that light had blinded his eyes. And then a man named Ananias came to him. A man named Ananias came to him and said, "Paul, do you want to know what's going on right now? God is making himself known to you. Jesus Christ is personally making known to you his will." And then he asks a very penetrating question of Paul. He says in verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Why are you delaying anymore? Why are you procrastinating anymore? Why are you holding off? God has made himself known to you. God has revealed himself to you in a mighty way. The time is not to delay, it's to act. Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." My question for you this morning is the question of God to you right now, is the question of the Holy Spirit to you through this message. Why are you tarrying? You know the truth. You've been illuminated. The Word of God has been explained to you. It's been preached to you. Why are you procrastinating? Why are you delaying from acting upon it? And I pray today that if there's anyone here who is not acting on the truth that's been illuminated to them in any area of your life, that today would be the day of action. The message this morning is entitled, "Why Delay?" Why delay? First of all, let's understand the illumination. The illumination in this passage is miraculous. It's marvelous. Here's a man named Paul. Paul is a Jew. Paul was raised in the most strict sect of the Jews. He knew every single bit of the little rules and regulations. He'd been trained up in them. He knew how to cross his T's. He knew how to dot his I's. He knew every aspect of the religion of Judaism. And he hated Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ said, "I came not to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. I came to fulfill all the regulations of Judaism in myself. I came to fulfill all the ceremonial law. I came to fulfill it. I am going to be the sacrifice for sins. You don't need to sacrifice animals anymore to be in good fellowship with God. I am the sacrifice. I will die on the cross for each one of your sins. I will make atonement for you." This was too much of a threat to the Jewish religion. Paul said, "This cannot be." He was trained up among these people. And do you know what he does? In here in his testimony, he went out and persecuted true Christians. This was a time of great persecution for the church. You know, at that time, we wouldn't have been able to be here sitting meeting like this in this church, freely singing songs together, hymns. We wouldn't have been able to have the Bible publicly read. We would have been private. Even they forced Christians underground, so to speak, in the catacombs where they would hide out and have worship God, as it were, in secret. And they underwent great persecution because Paul himself was going around rounding people up. He was getting warrants for their arrest. He was going, "Hey, any Christians around? Any Christians? Let's take them back. Let's take them back to be persecuted. Let's see if we can make them give up their faith. Let's see if we can make them renounce what they believe." This was Paul, the enemy of Jesus Christ. This is what I'm going to call first under this heading of illumination, the darkness. The darkness. Paul was spiritually in darkness. Do you know that's what the picture that the Bible portrays of anyone who is not walking in the light of Jesus Christ? That they are in darkness? In fact, Paul says that we are the children of darkness. Why? Because the devil, Satan, is himself darkness. That is what he personifies. What is darkness? If you're in a room with absolute darkness, you can't see your hand in front of your face, you can't distinguish between anything. Everything is dark. I talked this morning in adult Sunday school about the time that I went to Alcatraz. Alcatraz is the great prison in off the coast of San Francisco that was used, that we think of Alcatraz, the rock, the great impenetrable prison. No one could get out. And we talked about we went and visited the six blocks, the six cells of solitary confinement. And the sixth one of them had no fixtures in it, nothing in it but a hole in the ground to relieve yourself, and that could be flushed by the guard. That was the only thing. And it was pitch darkness. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And these people described how these prisoners, how they would have to pick the most mundane things to keep their mind activated, or they would go absolutely crazy in this darkness. No sound, no light. That's the picture that God paints for us in our darkness, in our spiritual darkness. What does that mean? Just as you, when you're in a dark room, you can't distinguish between that dresser and that wall. You just can't see anything. So when we are in spiritual darkness, we can't differentiate between right and wrong. We can, as God would have us to do, we can't. We look at something, we look at our own conduct, we say, oh, that's perfectly acceptable. That's perfectly right. I'm doing what's right in my own eyes. But God's moral law does not change. God's moral law says, don't do this. And we say, but it seems okay to me, so I'm going to do it. It's darkness. It's blinding our eyes to truth and to what we need to do. Paul says in Ephesians 5, he says, you were sometimes darkness, he says to believers. You used to be just darkness. And that is who we are by nature. By nature, we are the children of darkness. But secondly, as we see with Paul here, there's a dawning. There was a dawning for Paul. It was a miraculous dawning. It was a light that blinded his eyes. Look what he says here in Acts chapter 22. He says, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. This was a miraculous light. Can you imagine from heaven? I look up and see that spotlight and I kind of have to put my eyes down. It's bright. Can you imagine suddenly from heaven just being such an overwhelming light that Paul faced? Then what did he do? And I fell unto the ground. That's all he could do. He couldn't look up. He was blinded by the light. The illumination that God had given to him miraculously. Do you know that's the same kind of dawning? That's a picture of the spiritual light that God brings, that God shines into the heart of you before you trust him for salvation. Before you can come to God, there needs to be a light that dawns on your heart. God is light, 1 John tells us. That's who he is. By his very nature, he is light. And what did he do at the very beginning? During his creation, what did he do? Scripture says that he separated the light from the darkness. John says he is light and in him is no darkness at all. There's not a hint of darkness. So is it any surprise that when Jesus came into the world, he said, I am the light of the world? He said, the world is walking in darkness. Everyone is walking around doing what they want to do. They are walking around by their own eyes. They are walking around by their own sight. It's like the blind leading the blind, so to speak. We are blinded in sin. And there is light that comes. Jesus is the light of the world. Have you seen that light? Have you seen that light today? You know how that light is often given to us is through the Word of God. David said that the Word of God was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. You want to know how we can understand truth? You don't understand how we can have light, how we can understand and guide and direct our path. It's the light that the Word of God gives us. It's the light that the inspired Scripture, that the Word of God that was God-breathed, that was written by men, inspired by God, will give us light. It'll give us light to step forward. And here's Paul. This man who's in utter darkness, he can't see who God is. He doesn't understand who Jesus Christ was. He's blinded in his sin. And now suddenly there's a shining light right to him that knocks him down and says, I'm going to force you to see who Jesus Christ is. I'm going to give you light. We saw that song that we just sang before the hymn. There's light for a look at the Savior. Because third, under this heading of illumination, there's a display. What is this illumination display? What does it show? What does light do? You turn on the light, and suddenly you can see the stain in the wall that you never used to be able to see before when it was dark. You turn on the light, and you say, whoa, I guess my clothes didn't match this morning like I thought when I was getting dressed in the dark. Ooh, man, my socks don't match. It sure looked like they did to me in the dark. That's what the light illumines, it displays. And do you know what this light did for Paul? He suddenly saw who Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ to him before was his enemy. Jesus Christ was the one to be persecuted. Jesus Christ was the one who was trying to undermine everything that Paul was trying to do. He was the opposition. Suddenly, after Paul was knocked down, who was Jesus Christ? What does he say? Lord, who are you? This light knocked him down and it completely knocked him off his path. Lord, who are you? Jesus says, I am Jesus. You're persecuting me. You know that one that you hate? I'm Jesus. And what does Paul say? Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, that's the response, the right response to illumination of truth. Because what truth is designed to do is open our eyes to who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ said to his disciples in the book of John, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That means if you want to know what truth is, you know who Jesus Christ is. You can't know fully what truth is unless you know who Jesus Christ is and what he is portrayed in Scripture. It's truth. And in this great illumination, Paul suddenly saw. He had a new look. He had a new display of who Jesus Christ is. Some of you today here may say, you know what? I used to be in darkness. I used to not understand who Jesus Christ was. Oh, I saw some of those Christians walking around doing their thing. I always thought they were strange. I didn't understand what they were doing. And suddenly one day, my eyes were opened. They were illuminated. And guess what? I saw Jesus Christ. I saw who he was. I saw him as he was portrayed in Scripture. I understood that I am a sinner and that I can't satisfy God's righteous and holy demands. I understand that the end result of my sin, the end result of this path that I'm on, is destruction and eternal destruction in the lake of fire. I understand who Jesus Christ was. I understand that he died for me. I understand that he suffered the wrath of God so that I wouldn't have to. I understood that he took upon him my sin. He took upon him my garment of unrighteousness, of sin that cloaks everything that I do. And guess what he gave me? He gave me his garment of salvation. He gave me his garment of righteousness. And so now when God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. He doesn't see my rebellion against him and my rejection of who he is and what he's done. He sees Jesus Christ. He sees me cloaked in his righteousness. And that is enough for his favor, and that has set me on the path to go to heaven. That's the illumination. That's the display. And that is the light that God wants to do. Now understand something, friends. That's God's work. It's not your work. Do you know if you're saved this morning, you didn't just wake up some morning and stop and think about it for a minute and say, let me try to figure this whole thing out. I got it. I know who Jesus Christ is. No, because your reason, your human reason fails at finding spiritual truth. Spiritual truth must be illumined to you. It must be shined upon you. This is what the devil does not want. This is what the forces of wickedness do not want. Paul says that the god of this world, speaking of the devil, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. It means those who are in darkness, who are refusing to believe, it's like they are blinded. They have blinders on. Why? Because Paul says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God should shine unto them. Light dispels darkness. Light opens eyes. Light allows us to see. And the point, the work of the devil in our age is to blind, is to prevent light from going forth. So first of all, we've seen here an illumination. Paul, this wonderful testimony of his illumination, he was dropped to the ground. Secondly, we see an incompletion. We see an incompletion. Now you say, are you talking about, you know, football, quarterback, wide receiver, No, we're going to have plenty of time to see those over the course of the Viking season coming up. I have no doubt about that. But I'm talking about a different kind of incompletion. Because Paul was illuminated. He was knocked to the ground by light. He suddenly looked up and he saw who Jesus Christ was. He said, Jesus Christ, Lord, not enemy, Lord, what will you have me to do? He understood truth in a new way, but he wasn't complete. He wasn't fully brought to salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know this? Because Ananias said to him, hey, you still need to wash your sins away, Paul. He said, Paul, you're not there yet. You still need to get your sins taken care of. You know, there's what I want to point out to you this morning is that simply being illuminated, simply understanding truth is not enough. Simply understanding who Jesus Christ is not enough. Simply knowing who God is and simply saying, yeah, I think the Bible's true. I recognize that that's what God's word is to me. That's not enough. Why? Because we see it here in the life of Paul. Let's understand, first of all, the deficit. The deficit that Paul was lacking was action, was a response. He had been knocked to the ground. He had light that was shining all around him, and in fact had blinded his eyes. There was such glory in that light. And then what happened? He went back to the city, as God told him to do. And then for 3 days, he was not eating. He was not drinking. He was in this great, it must have been such grief of spirit, this incredible turmoil in his life as he's recognizing, man, the person who was my enemy, now I need to recognize as my Savior. You know what Jesus said to those that were around him in John chapter 12? He said, yet a little while is the light with you. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And he says, I'm going to be with you for a little bit longer here. He said, walk in the light, lest darkness come upon you. You know what he said? Then he said the very next verse. He said, believe in the light. You know, that's what our response, that necessary response to light. It's not just enough to look at, say, okay, the preacher told me this. That seems right to me. That sounds like it's true. No, it's requiring another response, a response of action, a response of faith and of trust. Ephesians 5 says, walk as children of light. You see the light, you understand the light. Now start walking. Now start walking as children of light. James tells us that the devil himself, the devils themselves believe in God. They recognize who God is. They recognize who Jesus Christ is. When Jesus Christ was walking on this earth, the demons themselves would cry out and say, we know who you are. We know who you are. Does that redeem them? Is that the source of their regeneration and truth? No. And neither with you is it simply intellectual knowledge, intellectual assent to who Jesus Christ is. That's not enough. Secondly, there was the discomfort. You see, when there's this deficit of action, when there's this deficit in our response to who Jesus Christ is, there's great discomfort. Jesus said that the people of this world hate the light. They'd rather stay in darkness. Why? Because it reproves them. It shows them that what they're doing is evil. And it's the same way with us today. Have you ever gone into a room and flipped on a light? And what happens to the cockroaches? What's happened to the little bugs? They run away. They don't want to be in the light. They want to be in the darkness. And you might just catch the tail end of one of them scurrying under the sofa or scurrying behind the refrigerator, whatever it is. So that discomfort that we have to light, oh, we can intellectually assent to it. We can say, oh, I understand that to be true. But then when we delay, when we push, when we back away from it, it's working in us this great discomfort. Now, you here, I think all of us would say, I know what it is to feel guilty. I know what it is to understand that I've done wrong and feel deeply grieved and sorrowful over it. That is part of the light of God that He has given to you. He's given you a conscience inside you that it says, that was wrong, that was right. And when we resist that conscience, when we resist what God is telling us is true and right, it yields in us such great discomfort and misery. And third, we see a delay. A delay. You see, Paul went and waited for 3 days after he was illuminated, after the light shone upon him. What's your delay? What has your delay been? Has it been for days? Has it been for weeks, months, years? Where you've known what the truth is. You've known what's true. And you know how it applies to your life. It's been preached from this pulpit or from other pulpits. You've read it in the Word of God. It's been put in front of your path by someone else. And you know that the light of God has been shining on you. You say, yeah, that's true. But you say, I'm going to procrastinate a little longer. I'm going to wait a little longer. Oh, maybe it's been a couple weeks. Maybe it was this morning. Maybe when you were reading in Scripture this morning, God brought something to you. That is the delay, the incompletion of not responding to the light that God has given. So in this passage on Paul, we see, first of all, his illumination. His illumination, he saw the light. He was knocked down by it. Secondly, we see the incompletion. This 3-day delay. Now, this, in his case, was probably excusable. He had not even had the gospel preached to him yet by Ananias. But in your case, it may be entirely inexcusable. You know the truth. And maybe it's not even having to do with salvation. Maybe you have been born again, you have been regenerated, and God has brought him an area to your life that you know you need to give up. You know that it's sin. You know that you're walking in darkness when you are living in this area, and you say, I will not. I know what's true. I'll do it later. Third, we see the inquiry. We see the inquiry, and this is from a godly man named Ananias. Listen to what Ananias says to Paul. He says, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, Paul, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. First of all, here there's a recognition. This inquiry starts with a recognition. Why are you delaying when God is calling you? Why are you tarrying when God is reaching out and shining light on you? Why are you going to procrastinate when it's God Himself who is calling you? This was the recognition. This is what Ananias said. The God of our fathers hath chosen you. He's chosen you for Himself. Remember what I said in the illumination. It's not your work, it's God's work. One time before you came to Jesus Christ, God shone His light on you. It could have been in any number of ways, but it's the light of the gospel that penetrated your mind and you said, wow, I never understood it like that. I never got it like that. I never thought it was true like that. And we need to understand that when that light shines through, whether it's the light of God that is leading you to salvation, or whether it's the light of God that's leading you to greater submission and sanctification and service for Him, it's God Himself who is reaching out to you. It is His Spirit who is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, it's time to respond. Don't you see what truth is? Don't you see this is right? That is God Himself. And that is what Ananias put out to Paul. He said, Paul, you got to understand, this is God. This is God reaching out to you. This is God desiring to make known His will to you. Why are you waiting any longer? Why are you putting God on hold? Why are you pulling out your cell phone and saying, here, let me put that one on hold for a little bit while I go on and keep on living. I keep on going and doing my own thing. It's God that you're resisting. In addition to this recognition, there's a response. There's a response. One of the great pictures of this in all of Scripture that I love so much. Do you remember the blind man who was sitting by the wayside and Jesus was coming through? And he was crying out. He so recognized the physical darkness that he was in. And he was so grieving over it that he was crying out, hey, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. And he just kept crying out over and over again. Can't you just imagine those people? Shh, shh, he's busy. He doesn't want to hear you. Shh. And what did Jesus do? He heard those cries and he stopped. And he said, hey, have that guy come here. Have that guy come here. I want to talk to him. I want to see him. And I love what those people, what the people that were around, what they said to that blind man. They said, be of good comfort. Hey, calm down. He's calling you. Hey, don't cry anymore. He wants to talk to you, okay? And what did that blind man do? He threw off his coat and he got up and he was going right for the Savior. He was going right for Jesus Christ. That was the response when we understand that He is calling us. When you have the recognition this morning that God Himself is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, it's time to respond. It's time to respond. Do you know what the response is? Okay. Okay. I guess now is the time. You mean God is calling me to be saved? You mean God is calling me to put on His robe of righteousness? You mean I don't have to live in darkness anymore? Sounds good to me. Sign me up. This is what Ananias said. What was the response? And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now this passage has given some confusion to people who connect being baptized with washing away sins. You see, there's nothing magic about the waters of baptism. We have a baptismal font over here that people go in and are dunked and are raised up again. There's nothing magic in that water over there. If there was actually anything that was magic about water, why wouldn't we all be saved when we took a bath? We're dunked. It's got to be the water from Jerusalem, the Jordan River. Oh, the people were dunked in the Jordan River. No. There's nothing magic about water. There's nothing magic about the act of baptism, of being dunked underwater. But what it is clear is that baptism is an outward response, as I mentioned earlier, to an inward change. It's a public profession to say, you know what? I've believed. Now's the time I'm going to show everybody that I've believed, that I intend everybody to know I believe by being baptized. Now, this is, Ananias makes this clear. He says, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's how you get your sins washed away. You recognize that you've lived in darkness. You recognize that you didn't call sin what God called sin. And suddenly the light of the gospel is shown to you and say, wait, you mean that's wrong? You mean I've sinned for this long against God? I've broken His laws over and over again every single day of my life, and I'm building up this page upon page, a rap sheet against God? I've got a warrant out for my arrest, so to speak. This is God's judgment against me that's coming up, that I'm headed directly toward. And then what is our response? Calling on the name of the Lord. I've got a problem. I've got a problem right now, and I need to call on the name of the Lord for deliverance. You know, don't you think that if Paul had really thought it was his baptism that saved him, he would have preached that in all his epistles? Hey, folks, what you got to do to get saved is you got to get baptized. That's how you'll do it. No, Paul says over and over again, you know what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He says in Romans 10, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want to know how to be saved this morning? You want to know how to your sins to be taken care of? Call on the name of the Lord. It's not difficult. There's not a whole bunch of hoops that you have to jump through to get saved. It's presented as simply this: call on the name of the Lord. Repent of your sins. Recognize that you violated God's moral law. Recognize that you have offended a holy God. Because you have said no when He said yes, and you've said yes when He said no. And then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I'm calling upon You. There's no other name given among heaven wherewith we can be saved. I need to go through You to get to heaven. That's what it means to call on the name of the Lord. And that's what Ananias held out before Paul. He said, be saved. Call on the name of the Lord. Wash away your sins. And be baptized. You know, friend, I don't know where the delay is in your life today. I don't know where the delay is that you are struggling with right now. It could be salvation. You may know the light of the gospel. It's been preached to you. You could recite the plan of salvation. Yep, I know what I need to do to be saved. But yet you've delayed. You've procrastinated. You said, you know what? I like living a little bit longer. I want to live in my sin. I kind of enjoy it a little bit. And someday I'll get saved. My friend, you don't know when your someday is. You don't know when your chances will be done. Jesus said, walk in the light. Why? So that darkness doesn't overtake you. I was thinking about that plane that was flying over Ukrainian airspace, a Malaysian airliner, miles up in the air, and a missile came from Ukrainian rebels on the ground. And it just destroyed that plane. I thought, what was it like for those people in that plane? Going simply along in life, as many of us have done in an airplane, simply comfortable. And suddenly, they are exploded into eternity. We don't know when that missile, so to speak, is going to make contact with you. You don't know when your last breath will be. And so when you're tearing, when you're delaying, when you're procrastinating, you're playing with fire, because someday darkness is going to overtake you. Someday darkness is going to be surrounding you, and there's going to be no escape. Why delay? Why tarry? Maybe for some of us, it's in baptism. God has commanded us to be baptized. If you're saved, Jesus says, you be baptized as a public profession. You know, we're going to have a baptism here in about a month. We just announced it earlier today. If you've been saved, if you've publicly professed faith in Jesus Christ, but you've never been baptized, why are you waiting? Why are you delaying? Why are you tarrying? Get baptized upcoming. It's a command of Jesus. He says, believe and be baptized. Maybe it's an area of other submission in your life. God has tapped you on your shoulder and say, that needs to go. That is not glorifying to me. Give that up. That piece of music needs to go. That entertainment needs to go. That hobby needs to go. That issue that you enjoy, that needs to go. It's withholding. It's holding you back from a greater walk with me. Why are you tarrying? Why are you delaying? Why are you procrastinating doing what you know God wants you to do? Don't delay any longer. So we've seen the recognition. This is God calling. Secondly, we've seen the response. Follow through. Act on the light God has given you. And third, we see the reason. What's the reason behind this inquiry? Why should we act? Why should we respond? I love what Ananias says here in verse 15. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? You know what the connection was? Because Ananias said to Paul, Paul, you need to be a witness. You need to be a witness of who Jesus Christ is. You know, friend, when you're sitting in your darkness and refusing to come to the light, do you know what you're missing? You're missing the time of telling other people about Jesus Christ. You're missing the time of being a witness for Jesus Christ. You're missing the opportunity to go tell others about Him. If you're a Christian here today and there's an area of rebellion in your heart against God and you're not walking as a child of light, guess what? Your witness for Him is being inhibited. Your witness for Him is being held back and is being restrained. Walk as a child of light so you can be a witness to the light. I'll close with this. Alexander the Great went up against a city, it is said. And when he was going to try to conquer everything that he saw, he came up against this particular city and they were walled in and they were ready to fight. And Alexander the Great lit a torch and he held it up. And here was his message to the city. He said, if you come out and surrender to me while this torch is still burning, I'll spare every single one of you. None of you will die. He said, but if this torch burns down, if this torch stops burning before you come out to me and surrender, I will destroy every single last one of you. My friend, if you haven't come to Jesus Christ, you are the enemy of God. You are at odds against Him. Just like Paul, you are in darkness, living apart from Him, being separated from Him, in rebellion against Him. And Jesus Christ has come up to you. If you're here this morning, the light of the gospel is being explained to you. And there's a torch, the light of the gospel, that is shining to you right now. And it's being held up for you to see. And the message of God to you this morning is, why will you delay? Don't wait until you think that torch is down to the very last bit. Don't think you're going to wait until your deathbed to come to Jesus Christ. Why will you delay? Don't wait until, hey, I got to get through my teenage years and have fun. I got to get through my early years so I can get all the gusto I can out of life. And then I'm going to come to Jesus Christ. You don't know when that torch is going to burn down. You don't know when that torch is going to be extinguished. And then it's going to be the judgment. And there's going to be no other hope. There's going to be no chance to reconsider. There's going to be no more light for you to see. And your eternal destiny will be the unquenchable darkness of the lake of fire. My friend, why delay? Let's ask ourselves that question today and then ask ourselves, what's the response? Don't delay today. Come to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this testimony of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for this godly man named Ananias. And now, why tarriest thou? Father, I ask that if there's anyone here who is delaying in whatever way from the light that's been given to them, I pray that if there's someone here who knows the light of the gospel, they know the truth, they've been illumined, they understand who Jesus Christ is, they understand who they are, but they've been delaying. Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, the day that they would act on that truth, the day that they would respond to the light that has been given them. Father, I pray that if there are believers here who are resisting the work of God in their life, who are resisting the light that has been given to them by the Holy Spirit, that today they too would submit, they too would respond and act in repentance for the light that's been given them. And now we leave a moment at the end of every morning service. If there's anyone here who recognizes that they have been delaying, they have been procrastinating. They have been tarrying. They know the truth, but have never acted on it. Won't today be the day of salvation? Scripture says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. We always leave a moment. If anyone would like to come to the front and kneel at these steps, someone will open the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can be saved. We leave this opportunity. If that is you, don't delay any longer. Come and receive the full gift of salvation that Jesus Christ offers. While we wait, Christian, I encourage you, if you are living in an area of darkness in your life, submit and seek the light, the full light, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to shine through you. Let's take a moment. Father, I pray that there is not one here today who would leave without acting upon the truth, the light that has been given to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.